The Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Countdown to shutdown. Good afternoon. The clock is ticking toward a government shutdown. Lawmakers have till midnight Thursday to reach a deal on a spending plan, or else the U.S. economy could fall off a cliff. Also, hundreds of thousands of federal workers could lose their jobs.
It is frustrating because you think, what's a more secure job than with the federal government?
That federal worker, one of 800,000 facing a furlough come Friday. Senate Democrats will try again today to find the votes they need to avert a shutdown. Republicans refusing to raise the debt ceiling, saying Uncle Sam's credit card is maxed out.
Do Republicans take any responsibility if the U.S. defaults?
Did you ask the majority of that question?
That's the Senate's top Republican, Mitch McConnell. He calls the Democrats' $3.5 trillion proposal a reckless spending spree. Reporter Laura Podesta says the White House is now directly involved in the budget talks.
Mr. Biden met with Senators Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin at the White House yesterday, two moderates with concerns over the price tag.
The president canceled a trip to Chicago today so he can stay in Washington and mediate a deal. Military generals back on Capitol Hill today facing tough questions from lawmakers about our chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan. Alabama's Mike Rogers, the ranking Republican on the House Armed Services Committee.
The president stood in the East Room of the White House and called the withdrawal, quote, an extraordinary success. This wasn't an extraordinary success. It was an extraordinary disaster. It will go down in history as one of the greatest failures of American leadership. We're here today to get answers on how this happened.
Pentagon leaders say the president went against their advice to keep troops on the ground after the pullout. Four-star General Frank McKenzie oversaw the mission in Afghanistan.
I recommended that we maintain 2,500 troops in Afghanistan. I also have a view that the withdrawal of those forces would lead inevitably to the collapse of the Afghan government.
The president says he cannot recall the conversation about maintaining a troop presence in Afghanistan. Media critic Joe Concha finds that hard to believe.
The commander-in-chief says he doesn't recall one of the most important conversations he had as an adult to this point in his life, when his top generals are telling him to keep 2,500 troops in Afghanistan and avoid the catastrophe that we witnessed in August and Americans left behind and 13 U.S. service members dead.
Retired General Jack Keane says because of the way we left Afghanistan, civil war will probably break out there and not too far in the future.
The Taliban don't know how to run a country, and I think because there's going to be so much repression and suppression of the people, that is going to lead to a civil war. And the civil war, remember, in Syria is what gave rise to ISIS, because it was ungoverned space. And that is the concern the military has had in Afghanistan.
Some Republicans have asked the chairman of the Joint Chiefs and the nation's defense secretary to step down over the bungled withdrawal from Afghanistan. Turning to the border crisis next, Florida is suing the Biden administration over its controversial catch-and-release policy. Governor Ron DeSantis.
We've got to take every effort we can to make sure that we're protecting the people of Florida.
The lawsuit comes as the Department of Homeland Security mandates border agents get vaccinated against COVID by November 1st or risk losing their job. Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan doesn't like the sound of that.
The people who have been busting their tails, enforcing our law, doing their job on the border, they're going to get fired if they don't take the vaccine. Meanwhile, for people who break the law and come in here, no big deal.
Jordan accuses the White House of cracking down on law enforcement instead of the thousands of immigrants who cross our border illegally every day. And as the migrant surge worsens, even former President Obama is speaking out on the long-term impact of this crisis.
We are naturally a people that wants to help others. At the same time, the idea that we can just have open borders is something that I think as a practical matter, is unsustainable.
Republicans and Democrats will step up to the plate quite literally tonight. They're playing ball, baseball, at the Washington National Stadium in a tradition that dates back 112 years. Here's reporter Michael Kastner.
The congressional baseball game is back after being canceled last year because of the coronavirus pandemic. The annual ball game has been played since 1909, and each party has won 42 times.
The ball game's known for fostering a spirit of bipartisanship on Capitol Hill.
One of my colleagues from Mississippi, Trent Kelly, he said, get out there on the baseball field. You will make the best of friends. You'll do the best networking, and you'll get the most work done.
Florida Congresswoman Kat Kamick is in tonight's lineup. She spoke to Fox News today.
So I played sports in high school. Okay. I was a basketball, volleyball player, a little bit of softball, cheered in college.
Oh, so you're athletic.
Natural athlete, yes, but this is a whole new level.
It is hoped that both parties will step up to the plate tonight, strike a deal to avoid a government shutdown. The first pitch of that congressional baseball game, 7:05 tonight. Still to come on the Noon Report for a Wednesday. The exploding cell phone charger in Pennsylvania, enrollment down at New York SUNY schools, and the grave robbers in the Southern Tier.
Well, good afternoon to all. Cool conditions will be the prevalent pattern for us going forward. I've got the numbers coming up in your forecast coming up shortly.
All right, we will look for you in about 10 minutes. Thank you, Kevin Williams. In the meantime, let's check the headlines from New York and Pennsylvania. News where you live today. Parents of young children are evenly split on whether or not they want their kids to get the COVID shot. A new Axios Ipsos poll finds 44% of moms and dads with kids under 11 are likely to get them vaccinated. 42% are not. New York's healthcare industry continues to reel from a new vaccine mandate. Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
Initial reports indicate the mandate is hitting nursing homes and assisted living centers the hardest. Governor Hochul says 92% of nursing home staff and 89% of adult care staff statewide have received at least their first dose of the vaccine, but that leaves 8 to 11% who have not and are now on unpaid leave. Some hospitals reported significant staffing shortages even before the vaccine mandate, which has only added to the problem. Workers placed on leave can return if they get vaccinated, but many say they will stand their ground and go through the courts to have the mandate declared unconstitutional. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Governor Hochul says her goal here is vaccination, not termination, but that is little solace for those who are already laid off.
It was lose our job or put something in our body that we don't feel is right.
That is Sam Bennett at Guthrie Health in Elmira. He's been leading protests against the vaccine mandate ever since it was announced in August. Bennett will be officially terminated come Monday.
I cared so much, along with plenty of other healthcare workers who worked right through this pandemic every single day. No vaccination, and they were heroes. But now they're criminal.
Unlike other healthcare providers, Guthrie is not allowing the religious exemption, according to WETM-TV. Governor Hochul has created a contingency plan to bring in out-of-state nurses and National Guard troops to help fill in the gaps. Chemung County Executive Chris Moss says that's a train wreck waiting to happen.
What's the training curve going to be to bring somebody from the National Guard here to, you know, learn how a hospital or doctor's office or somebody may do something?
Moss says unvaccinated workers should have a test-out option to get them around the vaccine ultimatum. A workers' strike looming at Mercy Hospital in Buffalo. This nurse says they've had all they can take, and they're not going to take it anymore.
We're at rock bottom, and when you hit rock bottom, you really have to put everything you have, all your efforts forward, and that's exactly what we're doing.
Beginning today, the hospital's diverting ambulances, suspending labor and delivery services, and postponing inpatient elective surgeries. Catholic Health and the union representing those healthcare workers remain tens of millions of dollars apart in budget negotiations, and the current contract will expire tomorrow. Enrollment is down at New York's 64 SUNY schools, the largest public university system in the country. Had 18,000 fewer students at the start of the fall semester this year compared to last. We get more on the dwindling numbers from correspondent Noam Layden.
SUNY school chancellor Dr. Jim Malatra says most of the students who have dropped out are from lower-income families.
We have to figure out what's going on there. How do we break down barriers, whether it's food insecurity, housing insecurity, even paying for application fees?
During the pandemic, overall applications to SUNY colleges have fallen by 15%, but applications from low-income students have fallen off by more than 40%.
Experts blame the decrease in enrollment at SUNY schools on the pandemic and a drop in the overall U.S. birth rate. Statewide, approximately 424,000 students are enrolled in the state university system. Parents of public school kids in Pennsylvania could soon be able to access the content of all school curriculum with a few clicks of the mouse or on a keyboard. That's if legislation under consideration in the PA House is adopted. Now, some public schools already do this, but sponsors of this measure want it to be more consistent across all 500 school districts, including charter schools in Pennsylvania. Well, another attempt is being made to legalize recreational marijuana in Pennsylvania.
Democratic State Representative Jake Wheatley and Dan Frankel have taken the wraps off new legislation to decriminalize, regulate, and tax adult-use recreational marijuana. In PA.
With this legislation, Pennsylvania can begin to repair the historical harms and reap the benefits of the fact-based approach to regulating the cultivation, commerce, and use of cannabis.
If House Bill 2050 passes, Pennsylvania would join 16 other states, including neighboring New York and New Jersey, in legalizing adult-use marijuana. Pro-family groups oppose the measure. Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
The Pennsylvania Senate advancing a bill that would use coronavirus relief funds to help clean up waterways, fix up parks, and spruce up open spaces. This measure injects Pennsylvania's Growing Greener initiative with $500 million from the American Rescue Plan, which was signed into law by President Biden during the springtime. A second body has been found in the woods in the town of Portland, New York. The discovery made near the Rails to Trails entrance, about 25 miles south of Dunkirk. Police found a body just 10 yards from where a woman's remains were unearthed earlier this week. Chautauqua County Sheriff Jim Quattrone thinks that woman might be a missing persons case from decades ago.
We have DNA from Patricia Limerhart, who's been missing since 1976 from Westfield, which is just about 10 miles from here. And based on the forensic anthropologist, we are thinking that it's probably in the 70s that this first set of remains were located.
Both bodies have been taken to Erie, Pennsylvania for further analysis. Police say a man who crashed into a Pittsburgh daycare this week was high on the anxiety medication Xanax. He led cops on a chase before crashing into the South Park Kindercare. The car smashed into a fence around the facility's playground where children had just been playing a few minutes earlier. No one injured. The suspect had been arrested in the past for driving under the influence. Well, grave robbing isn't just the stuff of 19th century English novels. A Binghamton area police department has a modern day case on its hands.
Police in Johnson City, just west of Binghamton, are investigating several mausoleum break-ins at the village's Floral Park Cemetery. Police say glass was broken and the mausoleums vandalized. And Police Chief Brent Dodge says that in some cases, human remains appear to have been disturbed and some may have even been stolen. Investigators are asking anyone with information about those break-ins to please step forward. Mark Webster, Family Life News.
Now the good that people do. A Vestal, New York woman celebrating her 50th birthday tomorrow by running a 50K. That's 31 miles in the woods.
I just really wanted to do something that was hard, that I was scared of, and something that would be memorable. I've lost 140 pounds, and so I just wanted to celebrate just that I'm actually capable of doing this now.
Esther Fristino will use her run to raise awareness about cerebral palsy, which her son has. Her trainer says the course is anything but easy.
50K is tough enough, and she's going to be going up parts that are steep enough that you need a rope to get up and down.
There's little waterfalls on the course. I mean, it's a gnarly trail, and it's going to take everything that she has.
Gnarly indeed. Esther Fristino's 50K starts tomorrow, bright and early, 7 a.m. there in Vestal, New York. Well, a small explosion rocked a Wyoming County, Pennsylvania high school yesterday. It happened at the Lackawanna Trail Junior-Senior High School in Factoryville. It was the result of a cell phone charger exploding. A student felt it heating up in his pocket and then threw it on the hallway floor where it burst into flames. Students and staff were evacuated. Kids got the day off from school yesterday because of that exploding cell phone charger. Well, sports next, the two-minute drill. Batter up, Sunnydelphia.
Yeah, it's the last few games of the Major League Baseball season, and the schedule is right. As the Yankees, Red Sox, and Blue Jays are fighting for two wildcard spots, the Yankees open up their series with the Blue Jays with a big 7-2 win in Toronto. Giancarlo Stanton remained red hot at the plate, a home run in his fourth straight game. Stanton connected on a three-run shot in the seventh inning to give him 35 on the season. Aaron Boone.
Yeah, it's impressive. It's been pretty long extended streak, and obviously here in the very recent, it's just been scorching hot.
The Yankees have won seven in a row and now hold a two-game lead for the top wildcard spot. The Blue Jays remain one game behind the Red Sox for the second wildcard spot. Boston lost to the Orioles 4-2. Chris Sale tagged with the loss after allowing three runs in five and a third innings and said, "It ain't over."
You know, we know where we're at. We know what we're up against. And it's not even really us versus anybody. It's us versus us. We got to win games.
In the National League, the Phillies fall to Atlanta 2-1. Atlanta reduced their magic number to three games in the division race and extended its lead to 3.5 games over the second place Phillies, who no longer control their fate with just five games left. The loss eliminated Philadelphia from contention for a National League wild card. That final spot claimed by the St. Louis Cardinals, who won their 17th straight game, beating the Brewers 6-2. Even Paul Goldschmidt is impressed.
Just try to win series. You know, we knew I had a couple with Cincy, the one with San Diego, New York. Just if we could win series, we'd get, you know, gain some ground, you know, but to be able to do this, and you can't explain that.
The Mets made it a double. Their doubleheader against the Marlins in Flushing, New York taking game 1, 5-2, game 2, 2-1. Plus, it was the return of Thor, Noah Syndergaard, who after a two-year absence threw two strikeouts in a one-inning appearance.
Walking out of the dugout, hearing the fans, you know, I almost had a shed a little tear. I'm not really an emotional guy, but it definitely got to me.
Elsewhere, the Pirates top Chicago 8-6. Rockies beat the Nationals 3-1. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphiet.
Excellent work as always. Thanks, Sonny. Still to come on the Noon Report, silencing the anti-vaxxers. Generals testify on Capitol Hill and the occupational hazards of Christian radio.
One of Christianity's most interesting writers has a new book. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Last week, popular author, apologist, and Colson Center senior fellow J. Warner Wallace released his latest book. It's called Person of Interest, Why Jesus Still Matters in a World That Rejects the Bible. Wallace's background and experience as a police detective, specializing in what are called cold cases, has always added a fascinating dynamic to Jim's investigations of Christianity. In an earlier book, Cold Case Christianity, Wallace examined the testimony of the gospel writers to see if they provided a reliable witness to Jesus. In his next book, Forensic Faith, he taught investigative techniques to readers so that they too could examine their faith as well as share it with others. Now, in Person of Interest, Wallace tackles an even harder question. What if all that compelling evidence from the gospel accounts wasn't even available? In Person of Interest, Jim is employing a methodology similar to what police use in so-called no-body missing cases. No-body missing cases are disappearances where there is little to no physical evidence to be found at the crime scene. Over the course of his career, Wallace has worked many such cases, and he's noticed a pattern. Even in these no-body missing cases, there's often still a trail of compelling evidence to follow. For example, in the case of a serious crime, there's almost always a fuse, a series of words, suspicions, preparations, expectations that can be incriminating when followed. After a crime is committed, there's nearly always what Wallace calls a blast radius. That's the scope of impact made even if the crime itself was hidden. Almost anything about someone's life can change after a crime like that. Hobbies, lifestyles, actions, relationships. As Wallace writes, quote, when a high impact event like like a homicide occurs, it leaves a mark. It takes a while for the fuse to burn, and the debris is difficult to miss. Think about it. If he really is the central figure in all of history, we'd expect to see a significant fuse and a fallout from his life. And that's exactly what we see. From the Greek language that led to the proliferation of scripture, to the Roman roads that carried the gospel to the ends of the earth, to the hundreds of prophetic messages delivered to the people of Israel, the timing of the life of Jesus Christ was predicted and prepared for. And of course, the impact after Jesus' life was also immense. As I investigated the literary fallout caused by the explosive appearance of Jesus, writes Wallace, I realized it was nearly impossible to erase him from history. Virtually every leader, artist, educator, and religious figure has been influenced to some degree by Jesus. And that this is true within the larger social category of religion in particular is especially interesting. As Wallace points out, Christianity failed to morph around anyone who came after Jesus Christ, but almost every major religion adapted to incorporate him. Now, one of the best contributions of this book, Person of Interest, has to do with Christianity's plausibility. Though the idea that God would have spoken through just one religion can seem ridiculous to so many secular Westerners these days, what they miss is that we live in a world that has been so thoroughly shaped by the life and death of Jesus. Person of Interest cuts through all the fog and shows this influence of Jesus clearly. The investigation of one of America's best cold case detectives just leads to one conclusion. If the God of the universe was ever going to interact personally with his creation, Jesus of Nazareth is certainly the leading suspect. As Wallace writes, Jesus didn't matter because he changed the world. He changed the world because he mattered. J. Warner Wallace's newest book, Person of Interest, hit bookshelves last week. You can get yours by visiting us at breakpoint.org. That's breakpoint.org. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
20 past the hour. Kevin Williams, you're up next.
Here is your family life weather forecast. The call for this afternoon, sunshine, scattered clouds in Pennsylvania, a sun-cloud mix in New York with a stray shower in central New York. High temperatures in the 60s. For tonight, skies will be mainly clear in Pennsylvania, some clouds in New York with a stray shower south and southeast of Lake Ontario. Those in the 40s and near 50. Tomorrow, mostly sunshine in Pennsylvania, sun and clouds with a stray shower in New York. Highs in the mid-50s to the mid-60s. Plenty of sunshine Friday. High temperatures in the 60s.
We'll take it. Thanks, Kev. This is the Noon Report. Lots going on this Wednesday, the 29th of September. Hundreds of thousands of federal workers face a Friday furlough if D.C. lawmakers can't reach a deal on a spending plan to avert a government shutdown. The deadline is midnight tomorrow. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen warns Congress if it does not resolve the stalemate, the U.S. will be unable to pay its debts by October 18.
America would default for the first time in history, and our country would likely face a financial crisis and economic recession, and it would be a self-inflicted wound of enormous proportions.
Former White House spokeswoman Kayleigh McEnany says it's important for Republicans to force Democrats to own this.
Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden trying to blame shutting down of the government on Republicans. It is nonsensical. So Republicans need to have a spine, need to stand up, say this is categorically on Democrats.
Republicans say they will not vote to raise the debt ceiling, which means Democrats would have to do it alone. President Biden canceled a trip to Chicago today so he can remain in D.C. to try and broker a deal before tomorrow's deadline. More testimony today from U.S. military leaders on the withdrawal from Afghanistan. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin admits a lot of mistakes were made during the pullout.
Several Afghans killed climbing aboard an aircraft on that first day. 13 brave U.S. service members and dozens of Afghan civilians killed in a terrorist attack on the 26th. And we took as many as 10 innocent lives in a drone strike on the 29th. And we're still working to get Americans out who wish to leave.
The big story from the 2 days of hearings so far seems to be Pentagon brass contradicting the commander-in-chief when it comes to troop strength in Afghanistan. Correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
Beyond telling Congress that he urged the president to keep a contingent of U.S. troops in Afghanistan, the Joint Chiefs chairman also said that U.S. credibility may have been damaged by the pullout. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki insists, as Mr. Biden said in an interview last month, that there was a split among the president's advisors about whether to leave Afghanistan.
I'm not going to get in specific details details of who recommended what.
But Psaki did say this.
He's the commander-in-chief. He's the president. He makes decisions about what's in the national interest. And he believed we should end the war.
The chairman of the Joint Chiefs says he recommended leaving 2,500 troops in Afghanistan. President Biden says he never received that recommendation. YouTube is shutting down video channels with content that's deemed anti-vaccine.
Videos made by high-profile anti-vaxxers like Joseph Mercola and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. are being taken down by YouTube under new policies implemented by its owner, Google. According to the Washington Post, YouTube will ban any videos that claim vaccines approved by health authorities are ineffective or dangerous. Public health leaders have blamed the spread of misinformation online for slowing down the rollout of the COVID vaccine. I'm Rory O'Neill.
One of boxing's all-time greats leaving the ring, 42-year-old Manny Pacquiao is the only boxer in history to win 12 titles in 8 different divisions. He announced last night he's retiring to focus on politics. Pacquiao hopes to become the next president of the Philippines. And one of the country's biggest country music stars is getting personal with a debilitating medical condition.
With a new album just out, Alan Jackson should be riding high.
Sweet country music.
Jackson has revealed that he has a degenerative nerve disease called CMT for short, telling NBC's Today Show he's lived with it for about a decade. Now it's really affecting his balance.
And it's getting more and more obvious, and I know I'm stumbling around on stage, and now I'm having a little trouble balancing even in front of the microphone.
Jackson says the disease runs in his family but won't kill him, and he plans to keep performing.
Peter King reporting. It's 25 past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
Welcome back to another edition of Real Answers with Christopher Anderson. Wednesdays during the Noon Report, we tackle the tough topics facing today's families with licensed mental health counselor Christopher Anderson. And today, if you're a pastor or a Christian leader, or if you're in Christian radio or a Christian in higher profile position, whatever it may be, you'll want to listen in because we have a special guest, don't we, Chris?
We do, absolutely, Brandon, and I'm really excited about today's segment. And like you said, it applies to so many of us who are, you know, in a variety of careers within Christian leadership. And today we have Craig West with us, who was in Christian radio for 25 years, a total of 30 years in radio. And now he and his wife, Chris, are involved in a missions project. But right now, Craig, being in the spotlight for many years on the radio, you've got a story to tell about doing that, but also dealing with depression at the same time.
Yeah, basically 10 years of the 25 years of the Christian radio I was in, I battled with and was diagnosed with clinical depression, chronic anxiety. One doctor even said I had schizophrenic tendencies. It was 10 extremely dark years. For 6 of those years, I was on all types of medication. Just to be honest with you, of those 10 years, 3 of those years, I abused alcohol. And there were some very incredibly dark moments. That was from 98 to 2008. And then in 2008, my healing journey began. It was a very dark night of the soul, one could say.
I'm assuming there, Craig, at times there were days where going into the studio probably felt like the hardest thing you would have to do.
Oh, absolutely. I would cry. I'd wake up in the morning at 3:30 and cry on my way to work. And I'm just being very honest with you guys. I would cry. I'd be in my office trying to prepare. And it was like I was two different people because I was a high-functioning individual with clinical depression, meaning I was scared to death of failing my family, scared to death of falling apart. So I did everything in my own strength not to fall apart. Of course, that only exacerbated my situation because that's why I started abusing alcohol. And I was doing everything and everything I could to stay strong. But yeah, it was so challenging. Before and after the show, numerous times, I would just crumble in a heap and then gather myself up and try to do it again the next day.
Christians are no strangers to challenges, some of the ones that you yourself have mentioned. So what advice can you give to those, be it in the Christian media, maybe it's to pastors or others who are experiencing the depression, like you just mentioned, anxiety or other challenges that we aren't supposed to be struggling with as Christians?
Yeah, we aren't supposed to be. I love that. I understand that, and people are well-meaning, you know. But even the Apostle Paul dealing with depression and anxiety. The Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, you can read about it, verse 6. But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And so that's Paul, that super Apostle Paul, admitting we're scared, we have fears within, and we're depressed. That's Paul. And so here's the one thing I want you to remember. In order to heal, we must be real with what we feel. And anytime we suppress, deny, dissociate, we only increase our pain and torment. When it comes to negative emotional sensations like depression, anxiety, fear, what we resist only persists. It gets bigger. And as sons and daughters of God, we don't have to fear any emotion. God created them. So I would say to those who are dealing with manic lows, people who work with people who do, you're experiencing this stuff because you're human. That's why you're experiencing it. It's as simple as that. It just reveals that we as humans have incredible capacity. We read in Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God, this is Jesus reading from the scroll, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. That word afflicted literally means depressed and depressed in mind. So even Jesus came knowing people, and this is not a non-believer, believer thing. Humans will experience depression. And as Oswald Chambers said, if you haven't experienced some form of depression or loneliness, you've never been human.
You've been listening to another edition of Real Answers with Christopher Anderson. It airs Wednesdays during the Noon Report. We tackle the tough topics facing today's families with Christian counselor Christopher Anderson.
All right, getting real. That's why we call it Real Answers, and you can download the podcast online anytime. Go to familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Cool air flowing out of eastern and central Canada will prevail over the next several days, keeping our temperatures below normal. This is not a very wet pattern, but it could produce a few lake effect rain showers southeast of Lake Ontario. The call for this afternoon, sunshine, scattered clouds in Pennsylvania, a sun-cloud mix in New York with a stray shower in central New York. High temperatures in the 60s. For tonight, skies will be mainly clear in Pennsylvania, some clouds in New York with a stray shower south and southeast of Lake Ontario. Those in the 40s to near 50. Tomorrow, mostly sunshine in Pennsylvania, sun and clouds with a stray shower in New York. Highs in the mid-50s to the mid-60s. Plenty of sunshine Friday. High temperatures in the 60s.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. Finally, Noon, it's National Coffee Day, don't you know? Next to water and tea, no beverage on planet Earth is consumed more than coffee. The drink dates back to 15th century Yemen. The coffee bean, for which the drink is derived from, was discovered by Ethiopian goat herders. And the country that drinks the most coffee is Finland. Would have never guessed it. Well, correspondent Natalie Rodriguez tells us how you can score a free cup of Joe today.
Starbucks is celebrating its 50th anniversary today with a rare freebie. Bring your reusable mug, get free coffee. At Dunkin', you have to be a member of the DD Perks to get a free medium hot or iced coffee with a purchase. McDonald's has 99 cent hot or iced coffee through the end of the year on its app. At Panera, while placing your order, tell them you're a parent or a caregiver and cash in on your free coffee. At 7-Eleven, 7 Rewards loyalty members get a free coffee today with the purchase of a baked good. And Wawa has free coffee all day today. Plus, they're giving away free coffee to teachers and school administrators, part of their Cheers to Classroom initiative through tomorrow. Natalie Rodriguez, Miami.
All right, that's the world we live in. Wednesday, the 29th of September. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.